Good morning and welcome into this midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there. I'm Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host, for this hour of observation, insight, and a touch of absurdity. Hoping you're having a great day. Wow. There is so much going on in the news today. Most of it makes me want to take a shower, to be honest with you. I come away from skimming through things and I feel just nasty. But there we go. Such is life when you're keeping up with the antics of those who feel like they're our leaders. I'm air quoting, you can't see it. Leaders. Oh, my goodness. And I know you feel the same way. I hear from you guys, and you're telling me you're feeling pretty much the same way. I mean, what do? You pay attention is what you do. You pay attention. You do everything you can to help your friends and your loved ones understand that what they are getting from the evening news and from their, you know, from newspapers or their mainstream news sites is not the whole story. And you try to tell them what's really going on. And I think if you're like me, you've probably found a lot of people just would rather not know. And isn't that sad? Those who don't argue with you would prefer just to, how about that football game, huh? They would prefer to talk about other things. I get that. I completely understand. I actually feel the same way a lot of the times. I'd rather not talk about these things, but we have to. And in the spirit of doing our jobs and being responsible citizens here in the United States of America, knowing that you and I, we the people, we govern ourselves. We are our government, and we must hold those we send to our capital to represent our interests responsible to the reasons we sent them there. Then we have to keep looking at the insanity that is the news of the day. And speaking of insanity, let's go right to our first story, coming from the Blaze. Hillary Clinton is making the rounds in the public eye recently. I've mentioned this a handful of times in the last few days. Hillary has made some public statements. She is getting some attention. She's making appearances and speaking. She's appearing on talk shows, ostensibly to push a new book that she and daughter Chelsea are working on about gutsy women. Well, during an interview on ABC's Good Morning America, she shocked the host and Chelsea with a candid answer about her marriage. She and her daughter Chelsea, they're out promoting that project titled The Book of Gutsy Women. So ABC News anchor Amy Robach closed out the interview with a simple question. What's the gutsiest thing you've ever done? Hillary responded, I think the gutsiest thing I've ever done, well, personally, make the decision to stay in my marriage. Publicly, politically, run for president and keep going and just get up every day and keep going. It was notably authentic sounding, coming from this longtime politician with a reputation for being inauthentic. Can I translate that? Someone who is a habitual and known liar? Even Chelsea was a bit thrown off by that blunt reply. She stumbled a bit over her own answer. She said, oh goodness, I think I'm so overwhelmed by my mother's answer, I'm a bit out of touch, out of words. Well, some might argue that Hillary's decision to stay with her hubby, despite his public and repeated infidelity, was more of a political calculation than a gutsy move, but that's debatable. I don't think it is. I don't think it's debatable at all. Clinton, of course, has weighed in on the potential impeachment of President Donald Trump, having called him a corrupt human tornado on Twitter, telling GMA that the evidence against Trump regarding Ukraine is dramatic and irrefutable. By the way, she's lying again. It is not dramatic. It is not irrefutable. The only way those two descriptions are accurate is if you are completely ignorant and just swallowing what they're pouring down your throat. The book they're promoting includes portraits of heroic and accomplished women. She says, to us, they're all gutsy women, leaders with the courage to stand up to the status quo, ask hard questions, get the job done. That's what Chelsea said in a statement about the project. goes on to say, so in the moments when the long haul seems awfully long, we hope you'll draw strength from these stories. And so much for the book promotion. Let's get back to what she said. She said, I think the gutsiest thing I've ever done, well, personally, make the decision to stay in my marriage. Let's just be blunt. The reason Hillary stayed in her marriage, aside from the political advantage she received by being married to Bill Clinton, who was a rising political star, and she knew that if she lassoed this star, that she would go to the top with him. It was her political aspirations that made her latch onto him and hang on for so many years. But aside from that, there's the legal angle. If she divorced him, she would have to testify against him in court. And if Hillary is nothing else, she is a plotting and savvy deceiver who knows when she has to cover her backside. So staying married to Bill, the serial offender of women's rights, who has been accused of rape multiple times, staying married to him is primarily a legal decision, because she knows she would have to testify against him in a court of law. She knows that if she perjured herself in a court of law, that she would be found guilty and she would be serving time. And that is the reason Hillary stayed with Bill all these years. She climbed the political ladder, and in the process, she witnessed a lot of things happening which were harmful to other people. She was the one condemning the people who were accusing Bill. And so she climbed the political ladder, and she has protection, legally speaking, by not being required to testify against him in a court of law, because she's married to him. And that's the truth about why. And we don't need to forget that. We need to remember, Hillary is a liar. She's a manipulator. She's a protector of a rapist. And she will say and do literally anything to achieve one more degree of power and control. And that is Hillary Clinton. And there are those who are saying she's making these public appearances to get some exposure, because she could very well be stepping in as the reasonable choice for a Democratic candidate for president. Because when you look at the Democrat clown car full of these nuts who are running now, she seems to be a more rational, reasonable source than the rest. That remains to be seen. I've expressed my opinion about that. I think it's entirely possible. But it remains to be seen. We'll be looking at a couple of these people coming up in the process of this hour. But if she runs against him and loses a third time, I got to be honest with you, if she runs against Trump and loses for the third time, that would be precious entertainment. I'm just saying. Moving on to somebody else who's kind of a blast from the past, Eric Holder, former Attorney General. On Monday, he was on a radio show called The Breakfast Club, and he was just, you know, kind of chit-chatting about this, that, and the other thing. And he warned that Democrats have a tough road ahead of them in the 2020 election cycle because, quote, Republicans are going to cheat, end quote. Remember, he served under the Obama administration. He said he's convinced that President Trump will lose his reelection, But the Democrats had a lot of work to do to make sure the election is fair. Quote, it's going to be hard because the reality is that Republicans are going to cheat. They're going to try to keep people away from the polls. They're going to move polling places. They're going to do a whole variety of things that when we had a Voting Rights Act that was intact and a Justice Department that was concerned about it, we could prevent a lot of this stuff. We don't have those tools now, so we've got to be prepared for a tough fight, but it's a fight that we can win. Now, the co-host, Charlemagne the God, you know him. You probably, oh, come on. Don't you go to church and talk to him on a regular basis? Yeah, right. Charlemagne the God went on to claim that Mr. Trump is going to, quote, fight like hell, end quote, to stay in office so he can avoid possible prison time. Mr. Holder agreed, saying he initially dismissed speculation that the president could refuse to leave the White House if he isn't reelected. You know, this is all ludicrous. This is just ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. It's insane. It's psychotic. It would never happen. No, there's not a possibility, not even the most remote possibility of a president losing an election and then refusing to leave office. That's not going to happen. This is the stuff of weird, twisted, bizarre, fearful imaginations. But that's who people like Holder prey upon. People with fearful imaginations. He says, I thought to myself, that's ridiculous. But as I've thought about it, this guy with all the norms he breaks through, I think he loses, and then it'll be interesting between, say, November and January when he would have to start packing. I wonder if, for instance, he'll pardon himself. Will he pardon all of the people in his administration? That's something I wouldn't take off the table. Now, I watched myself a little bit of this interview with Charlemagne the God. and it was ridiculous. It was just absolutely absurd. There was all of this speculation, all of this insanity going on. This conversation had zero roots in reality. Let's go back up to where he's talking about the Republicans are going to try to keep people away from the polls. They're going to move polling places. They're going to do a whole variety of things that, when we had the Voting Rights Act that was intact and a Justice Department that was concerned about it, we could prevent a lot of this stuff. Oh really? To begin with, Republicans don't try to keep people away from polls. That's the work of leftist radical activists. You remember the new Black Panthers standing outside the polls, holding their clubs, dressed in paramilitary gear, intimidating voters? That's who keeps people away from the polls, not the Republicans. He says they're going to move polling places. The only incidents we have, the records we have of polling places being moved, are polling places that have been moved with months and months of prior notice under the direction of political parties in their area. The terminology escapes me at the moment, but you know what I'm talking about. These people who set up the polling places, decide where they're going to be, what the hours are, and the like, they move them based on financial concerns about their affordability, about the ability to run them. Most recently, let's see, where was it? It was in Georgia. Stacey Abrams made the accusation that polling places were closed, that they were moved and nobody knew. Well, all of those things happened because the government in the state of Georgia decided those things had to happen because they needed to consolidate some polling places, because there was no reason to keep a polling place open for a small number of people, and they notified everybody in advance. They did everything properly and legally. That's one example. But this all falls under the old, tired, leftist argument that Republicans are all about disenfranchising voters in order to win elections. That's just one more lie. You see, people who really are concerned about fairness and equality don't prevent people from expressing opinions, whether in the public forum or at the polls. We believe in more information being better, that more people voicing their concerns and acting on them is better. We really do believe in fairness when it comes to elections, which is why we fight so hard to preserve the Electoral College, because it protects that. But people like Eric Holder, they're not about fairness. They're about winning, power, control, and having what they want, regardless of what you mean. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Glad you're along today. Thanks for being there. Tip of the hat to everybody over on Facebook Live. I see you guys there. It's good to have you in this morning. That's since Monday is slowly building back up again, and I'm glad to see you guys are finding it again. Those of you who are getting the podcast, hey, you just looked at your podcast program and saw, hey, that's back. So you've been listening, and I appreciate that. Thanks for you being there. Oh, my goodness. Let's see. Any housekeeping? I think I'll save housekeeping until a little bit later on. Let's get into something else here. Joe Biden, God love him, creepy Uncle Joe, he's having some issues, and I think it's just a matter of a very short time now before Joe, creepy Uncle Joe, just kind of washes out. I think it's obvious that the progressive wing of the Democrat Party, which is pretty much all of it, does not want Joe as their representative in this election, because he represents the past. So it's becoming more and more obvious that they're undermining what he's doing. And actually, the more Joe talks, he's undermining himself. He spoke not long ago about not knowing what his son Hunter did as far as business was concerned. I don't know if you saw it, but he wagged his finger in Peter Doocy's face on Fox News and told him he should be asking the right questions. He doesn't talk with his son about business, doesn't know what's going on there. He ought to be asking the right questions. And then he shifted the conversation to the evils of Donald Trump and the Trump administration. Well, bless creepy Uncle Joe's heart, there's a newly unearthed photo. It shows former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter sharing a round of golf with Devin Archer, who sat on the board of Ukrainian energy firm Burisma Holdings. They're all four of them. There's a couple of guys who are related to Burisma, and then there's Joe and Hunter. They're playing golf. And you know, guys never talk about business on the golf course, do they? Right. Well, Tucker Carlson over on Fox News, on Tucker Carlson Tonight, unearthed the photo. It's believed to have been taken at the Sebanak Golf Club in Southampton, New York, back in 2014, about 5 years ago. Both Hunter Biden and Archer joined Burisma Holdings as board members back in April of 2014. The photo raises serious questions regarding the extent to which Joe Biden is aware of his beleaguered son's overseas business deals, something the top-tier 2020 White House hopeful claimed earlier this month he has never discussed with his son. He told reporters during a campaign stop in Iowa, "I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business dealings. I know Trump deserves to be investigated. He's violating every basic norm of a president. You should be asking him why he's on the phone with a foreign leader, trying to intimidate a foreign leader. You should be looking at Trump." By the way, he wasn't intimidating anybody. He was just doing what a president should do, talking to a foreign leader, looking for a little help with something. However, in a wide-ranging interview with New Yorker magazine, Hunter Biden claimed that he and his father discussed his business activities in the Ukraine just once. Appearing Sunday on the Fox News channels Life, Liberty, and Levin, Breitbart News editor, senior contributor, and Secret Empires author Peter Schweitzer pointed out how the former vice president's son was appointed as a board member of Burisma Holdings despite his lack of experience in the energy sector. This is something that you also need to understand, is that Hunter Biden had no prior experience in the energy sector, yet he was appointed as a board member and paid handsomely to the tune of around 50, between 50 and 85, depending on what sources you see, between $50,000 and $85,000 a month. quote, the key question here that nobody seems to want to talk or ask in the media is, what was he being paid for? He wasn't being paid for his expertise. What was he being paid for? And what were the Ukrainians expecting to get in return? That's what Schweitzer asked host Mark Levin. He goes on to say, I think when you overlay the financial payments with the fact that Joe Biden, as point person on Obama administration policy to Ukraine, was steering billions of dollars of Western money to Ukraine, it becomes crystal clear exactly why they were paying him money. They wanted access, and they wanted to influence Joe Biden. And Joe Biden has been around a long time here, and he had to know exactly why his son was being paid. The emergence of the photo comes as House Democrats are moving swiftly with an impeachment inquiry against President Donald Trump over his call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, in which he raised the issue of Hunter's business dealings in the Eastern European country. As a partisan CIA officer with secondhand knowledge of the call filed a so-called whistleblower complaint with the intelligence community about the conversation, alleging Trump sought to exchange U.S. military aid for a probe into Hunter. However, both Trump and Zelensky have denied any pressure to look into the Biden family was applied, and the White House, in a nod to transparency, released the transcript of leaders' July 25th conversation last week. So this is all out in the open. If you, as a rational, reasonable individual, read that transcript, by the way, you will come away with a very clear understanding that there was no pressure. There was no quid pro quo. There was no subterfuge. There was no funny business, no shenanigans going on. But if you listen to the leftist press and you listen to the politicians, the leftist politicians, the progressives, they're all swearing that he has transgressed his oath of office. He's committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and he should be impeached. Of course, they're lying. God love them. Bless their hearts. And speaking of Ukraine, Rudy Giuliani, he's Trump's lawyer, former New York City mayor, suggested Monday night that there was serious evidence that the Obama White House directed Democrats to work with Ukraine to dig up dirt on candidate Donald Trump. He was on Sean Hannity's show Monday night. He detailed the latest developments into the situation regarding Ukraine, which stems from a 2017 Politico investigation that found that Ukraine was working with operatives for the Democratic National Committee to sabotage Trump. The reason why the President of the United States had an obligation to ask the President of Ukraine to follow up on these allegations, he said, because there's substantial, I don't want to exaggerate, but it's pretty close to overwhelming evidence, including a finding by a Ukrainian court that Hillary Clinton and the Democrats cooperated with Ukrainians with the order coming directly from the White House to dig up dirt on her political opponent. And they did. You see, this is the core of this entire impeachment thrust. The progressives in D.C. understand that the investigation going on, the Inspector General's investigation under the direction of Bill Barr, is overturning the rocks that they've been hiding everything under. And they realize that something is about to break, and they are hysterical with fear, which is why they're pushing so hard, pressing forward, doing everything they can to demonize Donald Trump as quickly and as publicly as possible. Giuliani shifted his comments after that to focus on then vice president, now current Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and the allegations surrounding his Ukraine corruption scandal. He said, in this case, Biden sold his office for millions. Is there anybody that believes that Ukraine or China were paying for Hunter Biden's expertise? Or do you have the common sense to realize they were buying Joe Biden's office? And that is very damaging to the United States. Joe Biden was sent to Ukraine to, in part, deal with corruption. And he helped to corrupt the Ukraine. He's a laughingstock. We are a laughingstock because we talk about corruption, and this guy puts his incompetent son to work for the most crooked oligarch in Russia. I mean, it's outrageous. The only really sad part of this is how much in the tank and how corrupt this media has become. They have corruption staring them in the face, and they close their eyes to it, and then they make up charges against President Trump that aren't true. They don't look at this whistleblower. He's giving them hearsay evidence. By the way, back to the oligarch. If you'll do a little research, the most crooked oligarch in Russia, do a little research and you'll see that billions of dollars changed hands during all of this. And the last hand they went to were his. Going on, Giuliani says, and I'm going to tell you one more thing. Biden's corruption helped to cover up all of the allegations of collusion because there was a company involved run by George Soros, which was involved in the investigation, and that was closed down to cut off all of the proof, the additional proof, of just how far the Democrats went in corrupting the 2016 election and in corrupting the Ukraine. So, Rudy Giuliani and others have been overturning the rocks where the progressives hid their dirt. And it's just a matter of time before things are released to the public. Again, this is why the progressives are scrambling so hard to condemn Trump, to get as much attention off of themselves as possible, to influence as many people as possible so they won't believe these reports when they're issued. That's why all of this is going on. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. Thanks for being there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for telling your friends, spreading the word. I really do appreciate it. Hey, just remember, you can sign up for the Daily Perspective newsletter. You can do that right on the front page of dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Go there today and get signed up. You'll get little things that nobody else does from time to time. Stuff crosses my mind. I start typing. Newsletter subscribers receive. Nobody else does. I apologize. Oh my gosh. What else is there? The podcast, by the way, if you haven't subscribed, if you are one who just goes to say the website and listens there, you can subscribe and have it delivered right to your mobile device or wherever you choose to listen to podcasts. It's available in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, at Spotify as well. If you're a Spotify user, it's on there. And soon, hopefully very soon, on iTunes, the iHeartRadio podcast provider as well. So that's coming in the very near future. In the very near future. Can you tell I'm actually reading a couple of things while I'm talking? I'm moving things around. I'm running my mouth while I'm also running my hands on my computer. And I don't have that much brain power. Well, let's go from the politically ridiculous to just the ridiculous, shall we? I think we're all familiar with Greta Thunberg, the young lady who stood in the UN and screamed at the members of the UN about climate change. We're all going to die, and it's your fault. You've stolen my childhood, she said. And I remember thinking, as I watched this, I thought, you know, honey, you're screaming and at these people and blaming these people for what's happening. And what you're actually doing is what they want you to do. Because all of these people you're screaming at are 100% behind this whole climate change thing. They're the ones who have been programming you, feeding you the propaganda, lying to you, and frightening you so you'll do their will for them. I don't know if you've thought about it that way, but that's in fact what is going on. The climate change advocates, the proponents, the people who are behind it, whipping up fear around the world about the we only have 12 years. Those people are spreading fear, making kids like this scared to death about their future. You've heard the people talk. I've decided not to have children. I don't want to bring up any kids in a world that may not have fish. I'm not exaggerating. That's actually a statement. These people, frightening the children, were eating this up. They loved what she had to say, glaring at the people in the UN, delivering her fierce statement to the UN. They were doing exactly what they wanted her to do. She was doing exactly what they wanted her to do. And she has gained international attention for doing so. As part of her statement, remember, as part of her statement to the world, she sailed across the Atlantic to get here to speak to the UN. She sailed across the Atlantic. What they didn't tell you was that her crew on the boat boarded a plane and flew back. She's also going to have to get around as she travels, and she will be doing some flying. Just watch. She won't be sailing everywhere. Oh, no. She'll be taking limos from place to place. Oh, they won't be electric either. Even though Arnold Schwarzenegger has loaned her an electric Hummer to travel around in. Right. Well, adding to that insanity, a local church in Sweden has claimed that Jesus Christ has appointed teen climate activist Greta Thunberg as one of his successors. They said so in a December 2018 tweet that has resurfaced on social media. And here is what it says. Announcement! There's an exclamation point. Announcement! Jesus of Nazareth has now appointed one of his successors, Greta Thunberg. That's what Sweden's largest Christian church denomination, or one of the churches in the denomination, posted on December 1st of 2018. That account, operated by the Limhamnskyrka, is filled. I'll let you look it up. I'm not going to. Is filled with many such proclamations about climate change activism. The tweet has been rediscovered as Thunberg has left her native Sweden on a climate change odyssey that includes stops at the UN and a climate strike march in Montreal, where she marched with Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. He was not in blackface. Her critics argue that she is being used by the rich and powerful to advance a liberal agenda. That's kind of what I just said. She says, my message is that we'll be watching you. That's what she warned the room full of world leaders at the UN. You all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You've stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. We're in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? We're in the beginning of a mass extinction? By the way, there is absolutely no verifiable scientific basis for that statement. None. But you hear it a lot. Twitter users reacted to the church's proclamation with enthusiasm, laughter, or scorn. One Twitter user asked, time and time again, I ask myself, when was the Swedish church kidnapped by left-wing extremists? A local pastor for that church seemed to take responsibility for the post in a tweet that followed up the previous one in question. Quote, dear Twitter, if we've hurt someone, we apologize. It's never been our meaning. Our meaning has been to talk about Jesus Christ in our own way. Now we leave the arena. Thank you for your commitment, joy, and debate. God bless you. And that came from Jonas Persson, the ward pastor there. So this church said that this young woman, this deeply troubled and deceived young woman, Greta Thunberg, who has Asperger's, if you'll do a little research on that, you'll find that that particular condition motivates people to be very, very focused on certain, on one thing. They get wrapped up in things, which describes what's happened to her. She's very, very wrapped up in climate change. Well, they have declared that she has been appointed by Jesus as one of his successors. I think Jesus would disagree. I think Jesus would disagree. Let's see. There was something else. Oh yeah, this one. Let me pull this up very quickly here. I don't have it up, but I'll have to drag it into show notes for today because I wanted to add this to the ridiculous, as long as we're talking about ridiculous. A high school in Memphis, Tennessee, crowned a male homecoming queen Friday night after doing away with the traditional gendered title. White Station High School this year replaced the roles of homecoming queen and king with the gender-neutral appellation homecoming royalty. The school later posted a photo of senior Brandon Allen winning the honor in a gold sequined gown, and they congratulated him on the win. The school's posts were widely shared on Twitter and Facebook, triggering both backlash and praise. CBS News aired a story about the moment. Principal Kerry Holland came to Allen's defense in the Facebook comments, quote, "Here's the thing. It's Brandon's right to run for homecoming court under Title IX. It's the students' choice of who they want to support as homecoming royalty. I'm exceedingly proud to be the principal of our amazing school. You don't have to agree, but disrespectful comments will be deleted. The high school loves and supports everyone, regardless of who they are or what they believe. Thank you for the love and light from so many of you." Joris Ray, superintendent of Memphis's Shelby County Schools, suggested Allen's gender bending was a matter of student voice and expression. Allen, who is gay, considers himself the Queen of Extra, that's his title, told Huffington Post that he wore the gown because he truly believes he is royalty. He explained, "So I want to rock a dress and look like a queen." Said he doesn't care about the negative reactions. You know, there was a day, and I know if you were a listener to the Mark and Max show, Dave and I have talked about it several times, there was a day when running as a guy for the office of homecoming queen was a gag. It was a joke. You did it to have fun. Today, it's no longer a joke. It's a commentary on how sick and twisted our society has become, and how some in our society refuse to accept reality. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Wow, it is October. Oh my. It's a midweek Wednesday edition of the podcast. And I've said so before, but I got to say it again. I really appreciate you being there. And thanks for spreading the word. Let's get this family growing, okay? Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, write it on a small child, send them out in the street. The Daily Perspective Podcast, found at dailyperspectivepodcast.com, and also on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and soon coming to the iHeartRadio app. Senator Bernie Sanders. A lot of people have felt the burn. In 2016, there were a lot of people who were in Bernie's camp. A lot of people were angry about what happened when the Democrat Party did what they did to Bernie because of superdelegates and the shenanigans. It seems like Democrat Party and shenanigans are interchangeable, to me at least. Well, he was the one-time superstar progressive, Bernie was. He's having a bit of a tough time keeping his campaign afloat today, though. Maybe staring down the end of his presidential hopes. Politico is saying that the Sanders campaign is in real trouble, with declining numbers, especially in early primary states like Iowa, and the looming threat of Senator Elizabeth Warren. It's clear Sanders is no longer considered the chosen progressive, and it may be time for him to beat a quick route to the exit before he sinks even lower. The problems are evident. The campaign is reportedly suffering from an internal staff struggle and is having difficulty defining their core strategy. Even though there are only 4 months left until New Hampshire and Iowa, two primaries that the Sanders campaign was competitive in just 4 years ago. One Democrat activist told Politico, Bernie has no idea how to right the ship, and neither does anybody around him. They don't know where they're going. They know things aren't going well, and they're grasping at ideas. That includes floating the twin excuses of a biased primary race and a superdelegate-dominated convention that favors establishment candidates. Sanders still says he wants to win, particularly when asked about his campaign's plans on the trail, but his optimism is looking less rational as time goes by, even for a regularly less than rational candidate. We're in this race to win it. That's what he told a worried supporter at one rally. The most important thing is person-to-person contact, all right? It's everybody here reaching out to five other people and explaining to them the importance of the election and why you think I should win this election. And right now, we have here in Iowa incredible grassroots support. But the problem is that grassroots support is shifting in large numbers to Elizabeth Warren, whose message is much clearer than Sanders and whose campaign looks professional and stable. In contrast, Sanders' campaign, noted by Politico, has been a rash of fits and starts, sometimes focusing on pie-in-the-sky progressive priorities like Medicare for All, only to turn more moderate on phone calls with high-level Democrats and members of the media. By contrast, Warren seems streamlined, though just about anyone might seem streamlined compared to Bernie Sanders. And she also seems appealing, in the sense that she seems to be a formidable challenger for President Donald Trump. Progressives, despite their reputation, are still focused on electability. And with Trump facing down an impeachment inquiry, they may be starting to believe they have a real chance at the party's nomination if they're willing to back a candidate with a polished public image. That also gets to the heart of Sanders' problem. 4 years ago, democratic socialism was a radical idea. Now, Sanders is considered the grandfather of a movement that's taken deep roots inside the party. He's not an outsider, and he's not the only candidate preaching progressivism. There are choices, and choices better than Sanders, if the Democratic Party hopes to prevail at the ballot box. If the prevailing narrative is that Warren is more electable than Sanders, it's making an impact in Iowa, where Warren now leads Sanders 22-20. Sanders was only narrowly edged out by Clinton in Iowa in 2016. In New Hampshire, Warren's also looking competitive. Sanders, who won the state in 2016, replaced his campaign's New Hampshire infrastructure with fresh blood and appears to have paid the price in support. Sanders doesn't have to exit the campaign anytime soon, though. He still has plenty of money and an impressive grassroots operation, even if he doesn't have the numbers to show for it. He may simply want to exit the race before the situation becomes embarrassing, and his advantages, the cash and people, are still a chip he can use to bargain for inclusion with a leading candidate. In other words, as the vice president. Well, Elizabeth Warren, she is edging ahead. She's stepping out there. And personally, I think people are latching on to Elizabeth Warren because she is, as I've said about Pete Buttigieg, she is a victim class member. She is a female. And there are many who feel it's time for a female president. The lunacy of this is that I don't think any Republican would disagree in electing a female president. They just want a qualified female president. One who is not a socialist. One who will not wreck this nation. One who will not put it on a path to failure. So yes, conservatives would vote for a female, a woman. Put a woman in the Oval Office. As long as that woman is truly qualified. Not just because it's time for a woman in the White House. That's crazy. Massachusetts Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren's been trying to put her Native American controversy. You remember all of that, right? She's one 1024th Native American. trying to put that in the rearview mirror. But a newly resurfaced video of her claiming to have photos that reflect her then-claimed heritage, it may put a little complication on that. The DNA debacle is seen as the ugliest blemish on Elizabeth Warren's current presidential campaign. If she becomes the nominee, there's a pile of unfortunate reminders of just how tightly she clung to that claim. In a November 2012 interview, then-Senate candidate Warren was asked if she had anything in the house that reflects her Native American heritage. And she replied, "I have plenty of pictures. They're not for you." That clip may only be circulating low-key on social media at the moment, but if Warren becomes the nominee or even the clear frontrunner, it could make for some uneasy questions. Like, what are those pictures and can we see them? In another 2012 interview, New England Cable's news Jim Broad asked Warren whether she'd have made the same claim if she'd been told the story of an African-American ancestor. And she replied that she indeed would have claimed to be black under those circumstances. Think about that for just a moment. The question was, if your family heritage had an African-American like you have the grandfather or great-grandparent who was a Cherokee, would you call yourself a black and expect African-Americans to accept that? Yeah, he actually did say that phrase, a black. As Warren gathered her thoughts aloud, Broad clarified, if that same ancestor was black and not a Cherokee, she said, "It's not that ancestor. If my father's parents had said you can't marry her because she's black and that had been part of our family growing up, that we had two different families, you'd be comfortable with saying you're black?" he asked. "It would be part of identification," she replied. By the way, that whole story about the couple running away to be married because one was an American Indian has been found to be a complete lie. So, she's got pictures, huh? This is all going to come back up again. We can hope. But remember, Elizabeth Warren is not being pushed because she's qualified. She's being adored because she's a woman. And progressives love to push an underdog, a minority class, a victim. And that's the only reason they would be behind her. Not because she's truly qualified to run a country. She's barely qualified to run a campaign, if that. And that's it. God bless. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.